Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Well, I read an article just yesterday about some soldiers who were getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan. In particular, they were soldiers that were going to be leaving Hunter Army Airfield. Okay, there we go, out of Savannah. And the reason why I was kind of interested in that is because I know some guys who are in that particular unit there. It's a helicopter unit, and usually they're the ones who go and do the attacking first, that kind of thing. But what struck me about this is that, no, it's going to be a little bit different this time for them. They're going to be used for medical evacuations and logistics, so it's kind of something new for them. And as part of doing that, they're also working with some units from three other different states. So as they're all getting together there, then that means that they're part of the time they're practicing there in Savannah, and sometimes they're going to Pennsylvania, Iowa, and South Carolina. So all these different places there, they have to work together. Why? Because, well, they want to be of one mission, of one resolve, one unit. While there's four different groups getting together, they all need to work as one. Now, why bring up that this morning? Well, because Paul's audience there, the ones who are receiving this letter from the Philippians, well, they would like that military analogy. Why? Well, the Romans had this thing that if you've been in the army for 20 years, then you get to retire, then they will give you some property. Now, that's an encouragement there to hang in there and be in the military for 20 years. And so what they would do then is that they would send you then out to the fringes of the new territory they've just conquered. Why? So this area here, they've got old soldiers there who can help protect the frontier. Now, believe it or not, at one time, Philippi was the frontier. Not too far away from the city of Philippi, well, there was a great battle that went on. Mark Antony of Antony and Cleopatra fame and Octavian, they did battle with one another, and Octavian won. Octavian became Caesar Augustus. So all these folks then who went out there and settled Philippi, well, they would appreciate the fact that, well, they're given this property, but also, too, since they sent so many Romans there, that new town, that new colony, Philippi, was a Roman town in the midst of Macedonia. And why is that so important? Because it was a Roman town. It's considered part of Rome. They retained their Roman citizenship, and that was hugely important. And so Paul here is appealing to that citizenship there to them. He would call on them because they've got privileges there, being Roman. And he says to them in chapter 1, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." They knew they were Romans living in Macedonia here, but that would also set them apart from the locals because they had Roman citizenship. And so now Paul appeals to them because of the fact that you're also Christian, which also sets you apart. And so he begins with our text here today. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So Paul's drawing them together here. It's like an encouragement in Christ. You got love. You got the Spirit. Got affection. Sympathy for others. He goes, yes, you have all of this by virtue of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Paul here is saying, you need to take all that's been given to you and put it to use. Put it to use by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being of full accord and of one mind. Now, these old Roman soldiers would know that they had to be of one mind if they are going to succeed as an army. So if they're going to succeed as a church, they too had to be of one mind and of one resolve. The foundation for being of one, they already have. They have faith in Jesus. Now, they know he died and rose for them. They know the love God has shown to them through Jesus. They know that the Holy Spirit has come upon them in their baptisms. And that is what motivates them to show love and to serve and to show affection and have compassion for others. God has given them all the tools necessary to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. But the devil, what does he like to do most of all? Create disunity. Do we have some of that going on in our country today? I dare say that we do. And Paul knows this. Paul knows that it is our nature to do what? To look after ourselves first. You see, when you're not looking out for anybody else, you're always looking out for number one, are you not? And Paul says that and addresses them. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Now, if Paul is addressing them, telling them, don't do this, what does that usually mean? Paul likes to speak with rhetorical questions. If he tells them not to do it, that means they are doing it. They are looking out for themselves first. You see, their culture really is no different than ours today. People and times are the same. The only thing that really separates us from them is our technology. But as far as our own well-beings and our own concerns, we're just the same as them. And if you think about our society today, how that reinforces everything that we should do first for ourselves. Think about some of the advertising slogans that you've heard. Nike, for instance. Nike says, just do it, right? You think of it, just do it yourself, right? Burger King, remember this one? Have it your own way. What does that mean? It's telling, yeah, you do things your own way. You look after your own yourself first. Don't worry about anybody else. You see, all of this is going on here. We're focusing on ourselves first. And so then we're thinking about all that's been given to us, all of our resources are for ourselves first before we even think about considering doing that for anybody else. And that's what Paul is addressing. Paul's not talking about your resources there. Many times we always focus on money. But Paul is also talking about the other skills and abilities that you have. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. He's saying, don't spend all your time looking at you. Spend time looking at others first. And that too is contrary to our society, is it not? In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. That just doesn't fit with our culture. No, we want people to be superstars. And people get paid millions and millions of dollars for that. And we look up to them. And we've got magazines that talk about them, you know, talk about these people, right? We've got television shows about, oh, how awesome it would be to see how you could live like that, how the awesome lifestyle where people spend all kinds of millions of dollars on stuff. It's just stuff. And that's why Paul says so directly, humble yourselves. Think of others as more significant than yourselves. Look to the needs of those around you. Look after the needs of others. So you might be thinking, well, how can I do that? Well, for starters, well, you could go in and support the coffee hour. So as you're going in there and you give a little donation, maybe you could give a little bit more than you usually do. That's one way. That's an easy way. But what else can you do? Well, namely, you could make a phone call. Maybe you don't see one of your friends here in church, in the sanctuary. Okay? Of course, you got to be here first to be able to see if they're not here, right? Okay? Keep that in mind, all right? A little plug for regular worship attendance. But yet, when somebody's not here, what can you do? You can give them a phone call. Find out how they're doing. You see, I think one of the big things that Paul's addressing here, quite frankly, is loneliness. All right? We need to look after one another. God noticed this back in the beginning. Go back to Genesis chapter 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Where the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. God noticed that Adam was by himself, and so what did he do? He made Eve. He called her a helper. That was Adam's spouse. But it was just more than a spouse. What was Eve? Someone else that Adam could love. You see, we are a community of believers drawn together under Jesus Christ. We are to love one another. Heard me say that the last few times over the course of the last few weeks? Indeed, we are. That's so very important. And how do we do that? How are we to love one another in a Christ-like way? Well, again, we can call our neighbor there, check up on them, follow up on them, tell them that they've been missed. In fact, I've got people, as some of the folks in the congregation are already starting to do, because they learn when they're not here to let me know why, because I follow up on them. I call them, like, hey, missed you. Sometimes I've got their cell number, well, I'll text them, haven't seen you in a while. I use Facebook, all those kinds of things there. And so then I find that people say, hey, I'm going on vacation, because they don't want their pastor sicking them, you know, checking after them, finding out what's going on, right? Well, that's why. Because what you can do that with one another. What does that do? It shows that you care. Shows that you love one another. It's such an easy thing to do. So when you do that, you might find out that, hey, maybe perhaps somebody is lonely. And sometimes when you make that phone call, you're going to hear some good news. And sometimes you might hear some not so good news. And sometimes that's a struggle to hear. I get that. But you know, the one who's sharing that with you is going to be amazed and encouraged by the fact that you have a listening ear when you call them. And so what again does it do? It shows that you care. It keeps the family. It keeps the Trinity family together. And following up with folks like that is such an easy thing to do. But also, too, you can do that by serving. Like yesterday, the Harvest Festival, or perhaps with the coffee house coming up. There's all different kinds of ways in which you can serve one another, serve your Lord, and serve your neighbor. The point that Paul is making here to believers is that we must show that love. Okay? And then when you do it without grumbling. That means when you humble yourself to serve others, don't complain. When you look out after the needs of others, and it raises that question again, it's like, do I really need to call that person again? I mean, I did once, right? You know, shouldn't they be better already? Well, you don't know unless you call and find out, right, if you haven't seen them. It's a good thing to do because they may not be doing so well, and they may need that love and that encouraging word from you. Think about it when you've had a bunch of bad days in a row, and you haven't heard any encouraging words from anybody. How do you feel when you get one from someone? Makes you feel a lot better, right? It's about showing the love of Jesus with others. So again, sometimes it's taxing, but the rewards are sweet. And Paul says that when you're doing that, showing that kind of love, what will you be? Shining lights in the world. That's how he describes it in our lesson today. Now, is that light coming from you? No, it's not coming from you, but it is rather being reflected by you. And whose love and care and compassion are you reflecting? Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So the word for the day for us today is this: let us stand together, for we do live in, as Paul put it, a crooked and twisted world, but yet we are united in Christ. So let us love one another. Let us love our neighbor. And indeed, you will find that you are the shining light there into their lives, shining the love of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord and the light of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.